open our Bible, shall we, to the book of Colossians chapter 1. The reading will simply be verse number 15. Today's message is entitled, Image Bearers. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Image Bearers. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, indeed our hearts have been blessed through the worship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fidelity of the Holy Spirit, saying that Christ is lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. And now, gracious Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us well, that indeed we are image bearers. Now, Father, may this lesson, may this message resonate in our hearts. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It is interesting to witness a child to pick up a crayon for the first time and begin the skill of drawing. First, there may be scribble of curves and lines, and over time, the sophistication of drawing develops. Favorite subjects such as mommy and daddy, baby, birds, dogs, flowers, and of course, themselves. And it's a joy to listen to them verbally articulate the subjects in their own drawings, what they're doing, and why. And of course, we give them great praise and affirmation and confidence, because image making is a significant developmental milestone in the life of a child. How they see their world around them, how they see themselves, and how all these things work together and relate to one another. You see, image making is a developmental milestone that can assist in evaluating the emotional, social, and fine motor development of the child. And it's worth noting that God employs images prominently throughout the scriptures as a potent way of communicating spiritual truths and realities about himself, about who we are, what we are, how he desires us to relate to each other and to him. You see, God not only uses images, but we are images. At the very core, who we are is that we are image bearers. Our image is derived from God, and what is implicit is that there is a similitude, a likeness between we and God. This likeness, this similitude, is not physical because God is a spirit. So what we share with God, we have derived from him, is a will, a volition, self-consciousness, intelligence, emotions, morality, and the like. Because God is infinite, he possesses all of these attributes in greater immensity than we shall ever possess. And because he alone is holy, all of these attributes are perfectly balanced in him. So what? Breaking down to the simplest meaning, what does all of this mean? I want you to jot this down. Point number one, the image bearer exists for the glory of the image giver. The image bearer exists for the glory of the image giver. You see, the image bearer must give glory to the image giver. So what are the dangers of not knowing that you are an image bearer? The first consequence is that of pride. If the image bearer does not realize that you are such, then you are prone not to be subordinate to the one who is the image giver. A second consequence is the ignorance of purpose. If you don't know what you are, then you won't know what you're to do. Thirdly, a third consequence is no sense of duty. The image bearer proceeds from the image giver and works on the behalf of the image giver. And then fourth, the image bearer must manage well the attributes derived from the image giver. And if you don't recognize the image giver, then you're prone to mismanage what has been given to you. So what is the point? If you raise your children without the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, discipleship, and a personal relationship, then you are setting your children up to be proudful, ignorant of their God-given purpose. No sense of duty or obligation to God. No compelling reason to self-regulate or to control themselves. So let's examine our text here in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and following. The Apostle Paul felt the need to contend heresy or errors that had infiltrated the church. And the church was failing to recognize the person and work of Jesus Christ properly. Their Christology was off. So Paul wants to get the Colossians back on track as relates to the centrality of Christ in liturgy and also in theology. So look with me at verses 15 through verse number 17. It reads thusly, he is the image of the invisible God. That means that Christ is the exact image, not similitude, but the exact image of the invisible God. He that have seen me hath seen the Father. Let the church say amen. The firstborn of all creation. The word firstborn there is a metaphor that speaks of family. He is before the creation, the firstborn of the creation. Then it says, for everything was created by him. You see, he's not only our Redeemer, but he's the Creator. All things were created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, for he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He upholds the entire creation through his omnipotence that he is before all, and all is for him. Let the church say amen. And the Apostle Paul wants to unveil the false teachings of those who had infiltrated the church. And a synopsis of their errors was the following. The false teachers were given to an era that's called Gnosticism. Well, what did Gnosticism believe? In part, the Gnostics believed that all matter was evil. In other words, the physical universe was evil, according to the Gnostics. So if the physical universe is evil, then God, who is pure spirit, could not enter the physical universe lest he taint himself, according to the Gnostics. So that in that Jesus has entered the world, according to the Gnostics, that his body was not really a physical matter, if you would, but rather it was an appearance of a body, but not an actual body, because that which is physical, that which is matter, is evil. Beloved, that is false doctrine. Don't you understand that Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and he was circumcised on the eighth day? If that's not physical, I don't know what physical is. Let the church say amen. Jesus had a physical body. Therefore, their theology was wrong. Because when God created this physical universe, he looked upon it and he said, and it is good. Not evil, not bad, but good. So Paul is going to attempt to correct the heresies of the Gnostics in the church. So in verses 15 through verse number 17, there are four truths that Paul sets forth. If you want to jot them down, you can do so. Christ is the Creator. Let the church say amen. He existed before the creation, let the church say amen. All things exist for him, let the church say amen. And he holds all things together, let the church say amen. So the sequence is the following. So listen very carefully. Christ is the express image of the Father, the exact image of the Father. Christ, who created all things, created the man, Adam, and created Adam in his own likeness. Adam bore the likeness of God. He bore the likeness of Christ. When Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, Christ received, if you would, the image of a man. So in other words, man was made in God's image. When Christ was born into the world, he assumed the image of a man. So what was God doing? God wants to be so personal, and relating to you and me that he took upon himself a human nature from his mother Mary, and he became the God-man. Just as Adam had God's image, now God has man's image. Let the church say amen. You see, beloved, man's soul was made in the image of God. Unfortunately, many have lost their souls. Many are destroying their souls. Many are damning and condemning their souls. Many are neglecting their souls. And many believe they don't have a soul. Oh, poor soul. You don't even know that you are a soul. But But there's a second thing we want to notice about image bearers. Secondly, we're not only image bearers, but we're image makers. Listen to Genesis chapter 5, verse number 3. Adam was 130 years old when he fathered a son in his likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. We not only bear the image of God, we're image bearers, but we're also image makers. Now, there's certain things we need to understand is this. The fewer children one has, the world will praise you. The more children one has, the more the world will ridicule you. We live in a culture of death. We live in a culture of sterilization. We live in a culture in which children are a financial burden rather than a blessing. We live in a culture in which we choose more things over more children. Satan does not want husbands and wives to faithfully carry out their ministry of image making. Why? Because you have to understand this. Satan hates souls. Satan hates every last single soul on the face of this earth. If there are 5.1 billion people on this earth, Satan hates each and every one of them, regardless of how old or how young they are. He hates souls. He despises souls because souls have been made in the image and likeness of God. And since he hates God and we've been made in God's image, he hates us. Satan is the adversary of God. Thus, he is our adversary because we've been made in God's image. Therefore, the last thing that Satan wants for husbands and wives to do is to realize that you are image bearers and that you are called to be image makers. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. The world will praise you the fewer children you have, and the world will curse you the more children you have. Where did that hatred come from? It came from Satan. He hates souls, all souls, and there's only one objective he has for souls: to damn souls in hell. That's his only intention for each and every soul. Therefore, when husband and wives realize the propensity, and God is giving the procreation, that God was so delightsome and pleased to make us in his image. Now God has handed over to us the reins of procreation, that you now are image makers, making children after your own likeness and in your own image. And yet, we choose more things over more children. And everything has a price tag except a soul. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me tell you, sis, everything you own, everything you acquire, eventually it will turn to rust or dust. Everything is fading. Everything is deteriorating. Everything is winding down. But there's something that is eternal. The soul of man is eternal. It will live forever, either in the presence of God or apart from the presence of God. You are a soul. And the thing that Satan hates, he hates souls. And he will get us to value things over souls that are made in the image and likeness of God. You are image bearers. And you are image makers. But there's a third thing I want you to notice. Thirdly, those who commit homicide attack the image of God. Those who commit homicide attack the image of God. Now, this is where we are. A woman gets off a metro train She walks towards her car, and two men rape her. Now, you would have thought at least one of them would have had some sense to say, I can't do that. We cannot do this. But both of them were so corrupt in their minds that they determined and agreed to rape the woman. Now you say, now, how can you get to that point? You get to that point when that person that you rape is not a soul. In other words, it's just an object. It's just an object for self-gratification. It doesn't matter that they have a soul. It doesn't matter that they have family and relatives. It doesn't matter that they have emotions. It doesn't matter what their future might be. It doesn't matter how their psychological state is going to be corrupted and damaged for the rest of their lives. All that matters is my self-gratification that I perpetrate upon an innocent soul. You say, well, you tell me, Pastor. When you teach children that they have evolved from animals and have not been made in the image and likeness of God, if you would, whatever you have evolved from, you are subordinate to. In other words, man will tell you that you are less than a reptile. No, you don't understand. We were made in the image of God, and there's nothing higher than God. Nothing higher than God. So what does Satan want to do? He wants to corrupt our minds that we don't even know who we are, that we're image bearers, that we're image makers. And he can corrupt our minds in such a way that we commit homicide. And to commit homicide, murder without just cause, is an attack against the image of God because the soul has been made in the image of God. So it means the following. Murder is an assault, an attack upon the image of God. As the homicide murder rate continues to rise, it is the evidence of the increasing hatred of God. Y'all didn't hear what I said. It is the evidence of the increasing hatred of God. See, there are two things. There are two ways in which the Bible defines hatred. On one hand, hatred is to abhor. It means to detest, can't stand. That is one presentation of hatred in the Bible. The other presentation of hatred in the Bible, listen to me, is to take lightly. It means when people hate God, they take God lightly. They take him lightly. He ain't gonna do anything. Who is he? I've never seen him. I don't believe he exists. I dare him to do something to me. See, they take God lightly. They abhor God. They hate him in that they take him lightly. Listen to me, beloved. Listen to me. All of that means this. If you do not raise your children with the knowledge of God, that they have been made in his likeness, in his own image, then you're setting your children up to be proud, with no sense of duty or obligation to God, no subordination towards God, and to take God lightly. They can take it or leave it. What your grandparents believed, what you believe, your child does not even bother to believe, is not even trying to believe. Why? Because you have neglected to teach them the fear of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge of the church. Say amen. You see, here we have image bearers. The Christ is the exact image of God. And Christ made man in his own image. And then Christ was born into this world and took upon himself the image of man. He assumed the image of man, that he became the God-man. And now Christ has done what he has done. And now the Holy Spirit is doing something now. The Holy Spirit is working with every and each believer increasingly, persistently. He is pursuing that we be conformed into the image and likeness of the Son of God. When Adam fell, there was original sin. Our nature has been tainted by sin. But now through Christ, the nature of man, the image of man that has been corrupted through Christ, that image is restored. Let the church say amen. And the Holy Spirit is increasingly conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. See, this is what you need. January the 6th, all over the world, is Epiphany Sunday. You say, well, what's Epiphany? The word Epiphany means appearance, manifestation, that God has appeared unto man, that the Magi went and they saw the child, the manifestation, the appearance of the child. The child, the only begotten of the Father, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things have been made, assumed the image of a man. And the epiphany is that the Magi, they looked down, they saw a baby who was God in the flesh. Image bearers, that Christ would do this, that you and I who are image bearers, he would assume the image of man and bear our sins upon his body upon the cross to bring us back into fellowship with God and to restore the image of God that had been affected by sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Image bearers. Let's then look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we've been made in your image and after your likeness. And then, Father, through your profound grace, you've given us procreation powers and capacities that we're not only image bearers, but we're image makers. And then, Father, we realize that we live in the last days in evil times, in which there will be immense hatred upon the earth. As it was violence in the days of Noah, so too shall be violence when the Son of Man returns. And God, we see all kinds of violence and such hatred in our culture and in our nation and throughout the world. So, Father, we pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that we would recapture that we are indeed image bearers. And that, Father, that you would overthrow the works of the devil and that people will come back to sensibilities in Jesus Christ. Now, Father, have your way. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Image bearers. You say, Pastor Bob, it's a dangerous thing for a soul not to know they've been made in the image of God. It's a dangerous thing for a soul not to know they have been made in the image of God. If you believe that, raise both hands. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. The bearer is subordinate to the giver. The bearer proceeds from the giver. We come from God to serve God, not ourselves. When we lose the concept of the image of God, then we're capable of anything. We're capable of anything. We're capable of anything. And so many souls are being corrupted Think about the pornography. Everybody talks about violence, but do you know what's the cause of a lot of this violence? It's pornography. Do you know what's the common problem? 90, 95% of prisoners, you know what problem they have? Pornography. What does it do? It reduces a man's ability to regulate himself. Man's inhibitions become unleashed. Man becomes aggressive. Man becomes forceful. Man becomes impulsive. You can lock up all the men you want to, but if you never deal with the problem of pornography, then you just need to build some more prisons. Why is it nobody talks about it? It's a billion-dollar industry. Too many people making money. Let the church say amen. Look at all the dope our young people are smoking. Why nobody talking about too much money being made? You know, is it a problem? Yes, it's a problem. What are we going to do about it? Make money on it. And those souls that are smoking dope have been made in the image of God. And those men who cannot control themselves have been made in the image of God. And you know what the preacher's responsibility is to tell them God loves them. Let the church say amen. God loves them. And God wants to restore you back to the image of Christ. God loves you. And God wants to restore you. Regardless of who you are, what you've done, God wants to save. Let the church say amen. God wants to save. Can God save my husband? Can God save my daughter? Can God save my nephew? Let me tell you, God can save anybody. Let the church say amen. God can save anybody. See, Jesus, he came to do business. He said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Did he say it? I've come to destroy the works of the devil. He came to do business.